Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here, and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Michael Shaw, a Freedom Advocates, an organization originating right here in the heart of liberal America here in Santa Cruz, where we both live. And Michael's been on the front lines of this battle for many years against the efforts to control private property, because after all, if we don't have a right to private property, why, we really don't have the right to life or liberty either. And of course, this gets into this whole concept of sustainable development. Now, what is sustainable development? Is there an agenda behind it? Are there people who sit around in smoke-filled rooms and plan the future? And the answer is absolutely yes. I don't know, are there smoke-filled rooms? Maybe they're luxury rooms, and maybe they're having a wonderful 14-course dinner, but there are these ideas. And they are laid out in Agenda 21. What's Agenda 21? Well, Agenda 21 is the agenda for the 21st century. And it's a secret to most people, and yet you can buy it, the copies of it, from the United Nations. In fact, actually, Michael offers copies of this, the United Nations Agenda 21, through his ministry, and you can get it through him. Fascinating material that you really need, of course, to have to understand what the future holds for you and for our nation, and of course, the whole idea of sustainable development is laid out in something called the Global Biodiversity Assessment, published by Cambridge University Press. 1,150 pages of drivel, but of course, it's a very dangerous drivel, because it's talking about how they're going to control your life and the lives of people throughout the world. Those, of course, who are allowed to live, because there are really too many people in the world, and it would be a lot better off if there weren't so many people. And with that as the background, thanks very much for being with us tonight, Michael.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Stan, for being live to hear the summation you just gave.
Well, you go right ahead and tell us, of course, what's going on today, and, of course, what Agenda 21 is doing to expose this movement, the agenda for the 21st century.
Well, you know, it's a distressing thing until one realizes that as soon as everyone begins to understand what's happening and come to realize that it is our evolved system of government that is putting us deeper into this hole, the American people as a whole will rise up and say, no more. Now, there'll be some big problems to solve. There's no doubt about that. We've got a system of money that's made up out of thin air by a narrow elite. We don't even disclose who they are, but out of thin air, these people make up money and pass it off as loans. That is the foundation of our economic system. And as time moves along and the power and the money accumulate in those hands, we become more and more subjected to the propaganda to bring us a new world order where unalienable rights are not recognized, where the rule of man destroys the unique American idea that each of us are created with certain unalienable rights. So when you live in a place like Santa Cruz and you see for, well, I'll testify to nearly 2.5 decades of property theft engaged by government justified under the political economic theory of sustainable development, you say, does this be the source of what's wrong in America today?
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, it doesn't take long with, you know, an open-minded, reasoned study. to conclude that the track we're on in America is called sustainable development. It is a political and policy-oriented program for the 21st century. It's moving very rapidly. And its purpose, which is to destroy the notion of unalienable rights for Americans. That means that the numbers of us will be determined by a higher human elite. They've actually announced in the Agenda 21 protocols that the goal for an industrialized world is no more than 1 billion people. That's an 86% reduction in human population. If you've got no right to life, I can assure you, you have no right to liberty or to property. And the evidence of getting to that third point, you don't have a right to life, is via the path of saying you don't have a right to property. Now, when I say property, I mean the use of property. Farmers and ranchers in this country are having their use made difficult or impossible. Liberty is under attack, and you don't have to be a right-winger or a left-winger to get it. Liberty is under attack everywhere. And all kinds of prototype reasons are given for why our liberties must be taken from us. So the path to getting to where one's life is not their own, but is the subject of a governing human elite who treat the rest of us as biological resources. Now, that's their language, not mine. When people begin to understand the indignity that is centered in the application of sustainable policy, which is happening throughout the country, every county, without the knowledge or understanding of the people. Now, there are those who understand, and a lot of them will be centered in Addison, Texas, right outside Dallas, on the next week for a conference Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the Freedom 21 conference. And there, people will address the crowd on the subject of sustainable development, Agenda 21. Freedom 21 has always been focused and was.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Michael Shaw. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael Shaw is simply pointing out that there is a master plan where they intend to only allow about 1 billion people to live. And if that sounds ridiculous to you, why, of course, you ignore what is saying at your peril, because there really are people who have a different worldview. I've encountered them when I was practicing medicine and trying to save the lives of people, whether it be from the AIDS epidemic or women whose lives were being destroyed by the medicines they were being given to prevent pregnancy, or certainly the procedures that they were allowed to undertake, which would lead to breast cancer. And when you realize, of course, there are people who would argue against you under any circumstances because they hate humanity, and they really want to destroy them. And they can certainly, many times they have the majority in medical organizations, and the policies adopted many times by organized medicine are not designed to preserve health, but to destroy health. And it was that eventually that led me to the conclusion that there is a organized effort at population control, and of course population control leads you into a study of sustainable development, and sustainable development leads to Agenda 21. And these are not imaginary things. They're all written out. They have books. They have textbooks. They have plans. You can get the copies of it, both the Santa Cruz County Agenda 21 and the United Nations Agenda 21. They're all part of the same master plan that is being implemented in communities across America, without the knowledge, many times, of the people who are actually involved, certainly without the knowledge of the great majority of the people who are going to be affected and going to lose their property and lose their health and lose their lives. So go right ahead, Michael.
That's a process. It doesn't just, it may wake up one day when that happens, where a military takeover occurs, but that's not the plan. The plan, as Nikita Khrushchev said some 40 years ago, 50 years ago, he said, we will bury you. without firing a shot. Well, today an argument can really be made that the Fabian socialist ideology that attaches to that traditional communist notion, operating on a system of social justice. Okay, that's what our law schools teach today, social justice. Okay, which is where a narrow elite determine the rules for groups of society. That is social justice. It is in replacement of equal justice, which is the constitutional and the reason for the Declaration of Independence, was to establish a system of justice known as equal justice, where it's dispensed the same way to every individual. And the basis of the rights begin with the individual, and the limitations on the powers are on government. Well, sustainable development has it the opposite way. That's why your experience in medicine, my experience in land ownership, I see the government target properties in order to prevent the use of them. And people need to understand, remember, that private property is a relationship. It's not a thing. It's a relationship a person has with something. It is that person's determination of the property's use that is the nature of that relationship. You break that, and you've broken the meaning of private property. And this is happening everywhere. To ranchers and farmers, to mineral right owners, although many of them have made deals with the government, have become partners, you know, in a true Mussolini-style form of economics. That has overwhelmed America. Public-private partnership is everywhere. Well, that means business and government working together. Constitution provides that the government shall not establish religion.
Michael, we're getting a little actually static there. Are you breathing into the microphone? Are you using a regular telephone?
Well, I am.
Okay, just hold it just a little further away from you. Go right ahead.
Okay. And the system of justice is being replaced. We're getting a system of social justice which hands out group rights. Instead of having our individual rights to life, liberty, and property respected. And this has become an epidemic, and people need to take notice that life, liberty, and property are under attack under the auspices of our expanding government. And I think this becomes the threshold question, and understanding the threat means understanding sustainable development, because they have this blueprint for creating a global communist fascist. I usually say fascist, small f, communist, capital C, society, where social justice rules apply, private property has been abolished. The population is controlled.
And I really think it's so important that people understand that if you go back and read the Communist Manifesto, they wanted to take away the right of private property. Now, Karl Marx, most people don't know, but Karl Marx was actually recruited by and paid by a secret society to write the Communist Manifesto. That secret society was known as the League of the Just, and you can go back and look this up in the encyclopedia. You'll learn about the League of the Just, and of course it was affiliated with, of course, the groups that existed at that time, like the Illuminati and other groups. They were all continuing this age-old concept of the mystery religions that were calling for the establishment of authoritarian world society under the rule of a ruling elite. That's what has always been the goal of the secret societies and the mystery religions, and that indeed is the goal of communism. Of course, they can't tell the average communist that. The young idealist is a simple fool who embraces the ideas of socialism and communism because they think that they're helping the common man. They think that they're using their efforts to oppose the ruling elite, whereas actually it is the ruling elite who are pushing this philosophy. And, of course, the whole concept in Russia was never to redistribute the wealth. It was to actually take away the freedom of the middle class, to impoverish everyone, and to establish a ruling class, a return to a feudalistic system. That is exactly what communism is. This is what Nazism is. This is what fascism is. There are simply three different tentacles of this same ruthless program to enslave the population. And that's what sustainable development is. They talk about the environmental problems. And what's the solution? A new series of government controls. They talk about certainly pollution. Oh my goodness, look at the pollution, it's global warming. And what's the solution? A new series of government controls. The common denominator behind all of the issues certainly is not a solution. They don't want a solution. They want a problem. Why? So they can justify a new series of government controls over the lives of the people to take away their life, their liberty, and their property. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, you know, next Thursday, this conference in outside Dallas takes place, and I'm excited about it because 5 years ago, we made the DVD, Liberty or Sustainable Development. That has circulated pretty widely, wide enough that there are pockets virtually in every county in this country that have been exposed to the essence of sustainable development and its attack on liberty. Well, next Thursday, Michael Kaufman, Michael Chapman, and Michael Shaw are going to make a 2.5-hour combined presentation that takes that 6-hour earlier DVD and gives the information in a quicker, more essential, down to the bottom line way. So people who can come to the conference, Freedom 21 conference, in Texas, I'd encourage them to do so. It will be 3 days, two presidential candidates, neither from the Democrats or Republicans, will be there and will be addressing the audience. And, you know, it's 3 days just packed with people at the cutting edge of sustainable development philosophy and policy. It'll be a fascinating conference, and for people to check out more, they can go to freedom21.org, and all the information will be there.
Well, it really is an exciting time, and I would hope and pray I can be there. I don't think I will be able to because of the pressures of what I'm doing. But people must understand that there is groups across America trying to bring this out about what's going on. You're never going to read about this in your local newspaper. You're never going to learn about this in schools. You're never going to hear about it in universities. Why? Because the elite want to convince everybody there's a real problem, and the solution is a new series of government controls, and so many of our young people are swept up into this without ever understanding that this is all about taking away their birthright, their right to be free. So certainly I applaud Michael, the three Michaels, for their work. I know all of them, Michael Chapman, Michael Kaufman, and of course our guest this evening, Michael Shaw. But if you're out in the listening audience, you've got to learn about this, and of course there's no better source of information than Michael Shaw's organization, Freedom Advocates, and they're right here in Santa Cruz. They've got all sorts of pamphlets on sustainable development. You can actually buy the United Nations Master Plan. You won't find it in your library. It'll be very difficult to get. Why? Because they don't want you to understand that there is a master plan to rob you of your freedom. And you say, well, Chris, why doesn't the government do something? The government's hand in glove. In fact, they even have committees on sustainable development at the highest levels of our government. Why? Because they want to control you. They want to take away your freedom. They don't believe in the Constitution. They don't believe in individual government. They hate humanity. And they, of course, want to eliminate a large part of them. That's why we spend so much money on family planning throughout the world, which is simply another word, name, for genocide. Financed with American tax money throughout the world. Well, Michael, pick the story up there.
Well, Freedom Advocates, I think it's appropriate to tell this audience that we're coming out with a new pamphlet, a little more detailed than some of our earlier pamphlets. It's called Sustainable Development, Global to Local Action Plans. And in this, read it an hour easily enough, but in this pamphlet you'll get the information you need to begin to understand the infestation of sustainable policy in every county in America. But you'll also begin to see what it is at the core, so that you'll be in a position in your community to say, we don't want Agenda 21. Now, the process of seeing that is methodical. But that's the process that needs to begin in your county, wherever you live.
And of course, really, every county has it. Sometimes they call it visioning. Sometimes they call it planning for the future. Sometimes they have a whole myriad of names that they give for it. But it is all part of the same process, really, by which government begins to control every aspect of society. And certainly it controls private property, controls how you live, how you build your house. It's all in the name of we're here from the government and we're here to help. But we're running out of water. You have to understand we're running out of air. We're running out of oil. We're running out of everything. And so this is why we've got to conserve and why we've got, of course, to limit consumption. And what we're doing is really for your own good, because we want, of course, people to live better lives. And that's why we want to force you into our sustainable communities where we can watch you and care for you. And this is why they want to impoverish the American people, to make them dependent upon the government. And this is why they want to limit, of course, the birth of children, because there are too many children. And after all, with too large a population, why, we'll soon be all standing on one another's shoulders. And of course, all of these things are lies. The birth rate is dropping throughout the developed countries, and many of them are unable to actually reproduce themselves. In fact, in Europe, why, the Muslims will soon take over, because they're just not enough new children being born. And all throughout the developed world, there are far more people in coffins than there are in cradles. So go ahead, pick the story up there, Michael.
Well, I think what you've done is define sustainable development. It is the destruction of your rights. And the way that happens is a crisis is created, shortages are created, and a police state gets built. And I don't think whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, a liberal or a conservative, I don't think anyone in America today doesn't think that it looks like a police state is being built. Now, those who, some feel it more directly, we have more people in jail than any country in the world here in the land of the free. And we have more property being taken. Just taken. The use of it, just taken. Okay. We have people not able to express their liberty to be who they are and to conduct their life as they choose. There are too many limitations building in America. Our rights are being destroyed. They are creating a police state by causing crisis. Now, I say, if that's the case, and I don't think that anybody would arbitrarily say that kind of thing isn't happening today in America.
Hold that thought, Michael. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael is simply saying that they're using the threat of terrorism to create a police state in America, and of course to protect us from the wicked Osama bin Laden or whoever it is hiding in a cave over in Pakistan. We're going to have to regulate every American and spy on every American, because you might be a terrorist. You might even disagree with the government. And people do not understand that they're collecting dossiers, the military is collecting dossiers on you. The NSA listens to all of your telephone calls. It's been doing it, having nothing to do with terrorism, it's been doing it for 40 to 50 years, going back to the time of the Second World War. And now, of course, they read all of your emails, and they read all of your faxes, under something known as Project Echelon. E-C-H-E-L-O-N. Echelon, E-C-H-E-L-O-N, go up on the Internet and simply type in Project Echelon, NSA, and you'll find it there. You'll go to Wikipedia. But you're never going to read about this in your local newspapers, and you're going to hear all this talk about, oh, my goodness, the administration wants to be able to listen to the conversations of the terrorists without getting a warrant. But they'd have to do that to protect us. Ladies and gentlemen, it has nothing to do with terrorism. Has to do with controlling the entire population and listening to what they're saying, because they want to know who the dissenters are so that when the time comes, they can simply round them up and put them in concentration camps. And you say that couldn't be true? Well, if it's not true, then why did they give Halliburton or Keller, Brown, and Root $385 million to build concentration camps in the United States in the year 2006? And if you doubt that, fortunately, we do have the Internet. Google in KBR, Kellogg, Brown, and Root, or Halliburton, whichever you prefer, and $385 million concentration camps. You'll find what we're saying is true. And if you can't do that, we'll be glad to send you the articles out of the paper telling about it. There really are people out there who have a different view. And, of course, under the name of protecting our rights from the wicked terrorists, they're going to, of course, start eventually down the line rounding up American patriots and putting them in concentration camps. And that will be, of course, mark the death knell for our liberty. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, I think that's why people need to take acknowledgement of the circumstance. Because if over the next 6 months, and I'm not suggesting this to happen or would happen, but if over the next 6 months... an understanding of Agenda 21 and sustainable development and a recognition of where it sits in their community and how it's under every Democrat and Republican objective. You know, once we see that, we will have new officials in office and we will have a major contraction in the size and scope of government. And that's going to come at the same time that the world figures out the nature of the Federal Reserve and of fiat money. When we combine those factors, there isn't enough of them. They're making them as we go, coming out of colleges. I don't know. They may have other factors, but certainly coming out of colleges. And having just the general awareness of the nature of liberty and the exposure of liberty to these acts of terrorism, acts of tyranny, worse than terrorism, acts of tyranny. You know, when the people figure that out, there ain't no concentration camp for anybody except the guys who've been knowingly implementing this program.
And people like, we're talking about people like Al Gore. People like John Kerry, these are part of this elite. And of course, many attended the meeting on the yacht of Prince Charles back in 1991, 1992, when they laid out the program for sustainable development, for Agenda 21, for all of the global biodiversity assessment that were, of course, adopted by the Second Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. And if you've never heard of the Second Earth Summit, or the First Earth Summit, or the Third, or the Fourth Earth Summit, it's simply because the media is controlled in America, largely by AOL, AOL, Time Warner, by Bertelsmann, by Viacom, by Disney, and by Fox, and they control 90 to 95% of the major media outlets, and they determine what the American people think, For instance, 2 days ago, the United States Congress voted, passed a resolution, I think the vote was 186 to 230 in favor, of impeaching President Bush, not a word in the controlled media. Of course, the vote was to establish committee hearings to begin to introduce the reasons why the president should be impeached so that they could present it before the Congress. How could you control something like that in this country? Why, very simply, we have freedom of the press. If you own the press, you have the freedom to suppress whatever you want. If you have not seen the resolutions in the Congressional Record, if you get some of our product, why, we'll be glad to get you a copy of that resolution, 4 pages, there in the Congressional Record 2 days ago. And if it's true, why haven't you heard about it in the media?
Fellow
general associated as left winger. Go right ahead, Michael.
And the senator from Arizona is the current nominee. These men also, it doesn't matter if they're a Democrat or a Republican, they are all committed to the globalist agenda, the game plan, the blueprint for which is sustainable development. Understand sustainable development, and you know your enemy. It's tough to lose when you know your enemy. So it is why I encourage everybody, teachers especially, to come to understand what sustainable development is. And as you said earlier, we've existed for 7 years, learning and growing as we went, and building product, video, audio, and some easy-to-read, well-thought-through pamphlets. It can give you good synopsis from which then you can, take an academic study further or become part of the action team to spread the word. Because the time is getting short. Now, I don't mean that it's a time to be naysaying, but it does mean that it's a time not to be dilly-dallying. Face the music, see what's in control, because then you know what the next step is. And once you understand them well enough, they will wither.
And I certainly agree. One thing that the people on the other side fear is that the American people are going to learn what it's about. Now, they don't think there are enough people out there who have the courage or who have the character to do anything about it, because, after all, they're trying to keep us entertained with bread and circuses and, of course, all sorts of entertainment. And all you have to do is turn on television, the mundane things, my goodness. I mean, who can we train to perform in the circus? Who will we vote off the Pacific Island or the island paradise? I mean, what they do is try to keep our attention focused on Britney Spears, on Paris Hilton, on the football and basketball and golf and all sorts of unimportant things. But the really important things that will determine the future of our country and the future of Christian civilization are totally ignored by the controlled media. And, of course, the controlled media will never tell you why the Supreme Court of the United States, through God and prayer and certainly the Ten Commandments out of our schools, knowing full well it would eventually result in social anarchy. They will never tell you about the organizations like the Bilderbergers, which holds regular meetings, like the Council on Foreign Relations, the fact that they came from a secret society. So much you will never hear in the controlled media. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and firstly, the guest this evening is our good friend Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates. We're going to open up our lines. The telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But Michael, before we do that, I want you to get your web page out. I want you to get the telephone number out, and I want you to tell people what they can get if they contact Freedom Advocates.
Well, the organization is freedomadvocates.org, so easy enough to get to on the web. And our phone number is 831-684-2232. That's 831-684-2232. What Freedom Advocates exists for is to delve in originally to the dynamic in Santa Cruz that was taking people's rights. And in that exploration, we quickly identified this Agenda 21 program. And so we began to integrate the local dynamic with the Agenda 21 program and begin to expand on that understanding by taking policy or philosophical writings from people around the country and incorporating it into our website. And so now we've got a website that will show you where sustainable development came from and what its objectives are and how it's implemented. And its primary implementation force is local. It's the global to local movement. Santa Cruz, that was a barrage of bumper stickers back in the 80s. And people willy-nilly just fell for it. I guess they'd see it on the bumper stickers on the freeway, and they'd put one on themselves, okay, and continue to watch the programming and the things you were talking about earlier. But a blind allegiance, you know, the useful idiot was created. And it happened all across this country. And it's not just liberal machines, it's also conservative machines that create these useful idiots that are compelling us toward the same objective.
And I think it's so important to understand that the leaders of both political parties are bought and paid for, and they're all pushing a global sustainable development. In fact, both John McCain and Hussein, Barack Hussein Obama, are globalists, and dedicated, both of them are dedicated to these whole ideas of the Kyoto Protocol, which of course is designed to destroy the infrastructure of our country by limiting our use of energy. You're going to have to limit your use of electricity. They're going to have to get the electricity so high you won't be able to turn it on in the summer for air conditioning or use it in the winter for heating. Oh, they want to destroy the foundation of our manufacturing, and the whole idea of the Kyoto Protocol and global warming is to destroy the economic infrastructure of our society and to impoverish our people. When you understand that, it all begins to make sense, because, I mean, how much global warming has there been across the nation and across the world in the last 100 years? About 6/10 of a degree, and most of that was before 1940. Well, then my goodness, what's this all about? What percentage of the atmosphere is carbon dioxide? Why, it is 0.038%. 0.038%, not even 1%, not even 0.1%. 0.038%. And so if that's the case, then how could it produce global warming? And of course it can't. But of course it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough, people will believe. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And let me suggest you go to Freedom Advocates' website, that's freedomadvocates.org, and you look at the material, and you get the material, and you get the DVDs, and you get the audio tapes, and you get the pamphlets, and you begin to understand what this is about, and then try to educate others. Would that be a fairly good appraisal, Michael?
That would be, that's what needs to happen. And, you know, we need to always look like we're small when we're big, and big when we're small, okay? Don't ever give away your store. But we need people to get real about the nature of the problem that faces America. You know, Agenda 21, sustainable development, has a lot of little fingers, but you know, you can see the trunk of the tree pretty quickly. And once you see the trunk of the tree, you've got what you need to make the decisions for which you are best served for, in terms of protecting your own, spreading the word, salvaging your community, maybe even saving your country.
And, you know, you really don't understand the impact of these regulations, these foolish regulations, until it impacts you. I had some property I wanted to put up for sale, and basically, suddenly I was told that part of that was wetland. Why? Because there was a fern over in one corner of it, and so I lost about, I think there were 10 acres I was trying to sell, and I lost about 2 acres because there was a fern hunting a piece of the property, and that was a potential wetland. And so, I mean, isn't it had a tremendous impact upon the price that I'd had this property. I mean, I'd had it for 15, 20 years and wanted to get rid of it, and But of course, and then of course, you know, lots of people say, well, this is never going to affect me. What if you try to sell your property and they find an endangered species on it? You want to do something with your property and they find that there's a moth on it, or there might be a moth on it, or there might be a caterpillar, and because there could be a caterpillar there, or the red, long red-legged frog, why, you can't do anything with your property at all. People say this could never happen. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, they're using this scam of environmentalism for control. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and believe me, they have a plan, and that is coercive population control, eliminating a large part of the people, not only in this country, but throughout the world, and down the line, of course, total control over those who are allowed to live, so that they will be useful serfs in this new feudal world system that is being planned by the ruling elite. And who are the ruling elite? They belong to the Bilderbergers. They belong to the Trilateral Commission. They belong to the Club of Rome. They belong to the Council on Foreign Relations and the Masons and the Rosicrucians and the Theosophists and the Lucis Trust and the myriad of other similar organizations that are out there. The family. How many of you ever heard of the family? How many of you actually have heard of Opus Dei and so many of these groups, these secret organizations, these cults that exist throughout the world and throughout the United States today? Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, regardless of the specific groups standing behind this, the reality that I think that if Americans understood, we will not fall to this defeat. And that reality is that there are forces out there producing global control plans under titles like Sustainable Development and Agenda 21. That is a fact. We know there are people behind that. Okay? But that's a less important question today than to see what's happening to us, know where it's coming from. Okay? And you can certainly include the Democrat and Republican parties, and I might even include, you know, the Green and the Libertarian parties. Okay? Because the political process has been soiled thoroughly by sustainable development.
Amen to that. Of course, these people have endless wealth because they have, through the banking industry, they're able to create money out of nothing. They're able to buy politicians. They're able to buy textbooks. They're able to buy universities and university chairs and of course, to put their people into key positions in education and industry and in entertainment and the media.
Dr. Stan, it's not just those that they buy. They create systems. You cannot be a nominated Republican until you conform to the system. That's just how systems work, and human beings operate that way. We've made this gigantic system out of political parties, both dedicated to the implementation of a globalist order and the adaptation of the UN Declaration of Human Rights in abandonment of the American Declaration of Independence. Now, that is a criteria to make advance in the Republican Party, because that's what it stands for. And the Democrat Party is the same way.
And I think the big thing is, of course, the Democrats look at the Republicans and say, they're the ones that want a fascist society. And the Republicans look at the Democrats and say, they're the ones who want a fascist society. And they don't understand that both sides want a fascist society. Both sides want to control the lives of the people. And the liberals certainly don't understand that the party they think that is going to represent them, it's all a lie. And we can just see how that worked with the last congressional elections, when the people overwhelmingly voted the Democrats into the Congress, into the United States Senate, because they wanted to get out of the war in Iraq, and they didn't understand that we're not going to get out of the war over there in Iraq. We're not going to get out of the war in Afghanistan. The plan is to leave our troops there permanently, and they will find a guise to do it under one guise or another, so that our boys will never come home. And my fear, of course, is that it's going to be the coming war with Iran that will be used to justify this. And how many of you have read in the newspaper, any place, that the Iranians are currently digging 320,000 graves? 320,000 graves along the border with Iraq in preparation for burying the lives of the soldiers who are going to invade them. Of course, I think that's foolish. That's going to be the bodies of the Iranians who are going to be killed in the coming war. They know the war is coming. You can check this out on the Internet. Just go up and Google in 320,000 graves of Iran, and you'll find many references to this. How could they keep that out of the media? Why, very simply, we have freedom of the press in America. And do you know what that means? Well, go, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Go right ahead, Michael, because sustainable development is the key to understanding the plan for a fascist America.
Well, I always say it's a fascist economic system, and it's a communist system of justice. So, you know, that's the worst combination. I mean, communism and fascism failed for more than economic reasons. They failed for effective reasons. But when you combine those two ideologies, you use communism to control the people through a communist system of justice, and you use public-private partnerships, buddies with buddies, all in control of everybody else, as a system of economics. Well, that's what Hitler and Schindler's relationship was like. Today, public-private partners are taking over more and more and more industries. If you're not part of them, you don't play. Free enterprise is dying. Industry by industry. The dollar is getting bizarre. Now, if you make the money out of thin air, you can gyrate it any way you want. At some point, gyrations are set upon you by the natural force of the way things are. I can't tell if our financial jitters now are the first category or the second category. But the point here is that he who makes the money out of thin air can create whatever condition they want for the money once it's out. We are beholden to the Federal Reserve system, the system of globalist global bankers in control of all economic systems, and who then desire a global one world government where unalienable rights do not exist. Now that can sound scary. Gee, it is if you sit back and let it happen. But it doesn't happen if enough people get with it. And that is the way to avert the ominous warnings that you often issue, Dr. Stan, you know, about concentration camps and about secret societies. But holy smokes, you don't have to even look that far to say, hey, I've got a job to do. Defense of my children.
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Steve, who's calling in from Illinois. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing real fine, thank you.
Are you listening to us on shortwave or the Internet?
I'm listening to you on shortwave.
Okay, very good.
Yes. I talked to you about a month ago, and you held me over for a couple spots and that. However, I was wondering how yourself and your guest, what your take is on the UFO entourage that went down the highway and went to Crawford, Texas, as far as George Bush's home, hovered for a moment and then dashed away at a supersonic speed that they couldn't track.
All right.
And that was on,
When did this occur?
Well, it's January 13th. I just found out about it. I'm a believer in that, but I think it was on Larry King Live's show. It had police officers, many people saw it, and they tried to tell them that they were goofy in that. But I'm one to believe. I'm already strange in that I'm a Jew for Jesus, Yahweh. And I have a lot of trouble I've had within my own extended family. But the thing is, nothing short of something being emissaries from God is going to take care of what we're into right now. They've really got a stranglehold on us.
Uh-huh.
And I
certainly agree with you. Let's get Michael's thoughts on Michael, have you heard of this UFO?
Well, I'm no expert on that subject. I do know Club of Rome said You know, the favored scare is climatic weather change, and the next best scare is the invasion of aliens. And I don't think we're being besieged by aliens. I don't think God would deliver a message that way. I mean, if so, then let it be. But the bad guys have already identified alien invasion as a scare tactic needed to create a one-world government.
Steve, I think that these are demonic manifestations, and I think we're going to see more and more of them. We have a book entitled, of course, entitled Alien Intervention. Certainly, Chuck Missler's written about the alien abductions. We have another excellent book entitled Policy Prophecy and the Supernatural. And I believe, of course, there's no question in my mind that these are demonic manifestations. They are supernatural, and they come from the other dimension. As you point, that suddenly this thing moves away at supernatural speed. And, of course, there is another dimension out there, and it is this foundation of this spiritual battle in which we're involved, but that battle between good and evil that has existed since the Garden of Eden. But I believe it's coming to its culmination right now. Anything else, Steve?
I believe we're in the last days, for sure. Maybe, because you know we're going to have, if you believe in Bible prophecy, and that 1,000 years of no strife, no wars, and things of that nature. And I think they're going to set this off. I believe that they're, I'll 50-50 with you. I believe there's demonic, good and bad, good and evil, within these spirits. And I think what they're going to do is, beat out, physical, retribution on the truly bad persons in this world. And I think God Almighty will take care of it spiritually. So I think they're here physically, so, and that's
We're out of time. God bless. Thanks so very much. Bye-bye.
God bless you too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, well, Michael, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program, so you go right ahead.
Well, I've had the great privilege of being able to be on your show once a month for the last few years, and, you know, I think for your regular listeners, our word about the nature of sustainability is out there. If people want to know more, I heartily suggest they visit our website. They can contact our organization. We can supply materials that they can acquire at very low prices, distribute in their neighborhoods, in their communities. We've got video production. We've got our radio productions from a number of venues, including many, if not most, of our shows that aired on Radio Liberty a couple years ago. Our purpose is to create the toolbox necessary for communities to know what sustainable development is, recognize it in their own community, and come up with effective, just say no, actions. So the program is there, at least on a beginning stage. We encourage you to look at the site, get our materials. If you're a teacher, you know, Michael Chapman's work on the educational process is something that every teacher needs to know. Because when that door in the classroom closes, that teacher is first and foremost an American adult teaching young people about the nature of America. And to do that, teachers are going to have to begin opening children's minds about the validity or the true nature of sustainable development. Today, our teachers are blindly imbuing, oftentimes, our children with the global collectivist mindset.
And I agree with you. And totally, because the thing is, people have to understand that a government that can regulate everything to create a utopian society must remove all freedom. A government that can provide for you from the cradle to grave must control you from the cradle to grave. And till people understand that this is a program of the loss of liberty. Liberty and limited government are synonymous. Tyranny and total government are synonymous. It doesn't matter if there's a problem out there. The solution to it is not a new series of government programs, as our so-called liberals would tell us. Well, there's some liberals, of course, who realize this, and they're out there, certainly are campaigning, trying to get the information out, just as we are. And we're going to have to work with them. We may not always agree on everything, but I think the one thing we can agree on is the importance of freedom and the danger, of course, of these sustainable development programs. Our guest this evening has been Michael Shaw of Freedom Advocates. That's freedomadvocates.org. Good night, Michael. God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoy our monthly programs from Michael Shaw, because he is just totally dedicated to getting this information out, and the material he has is excellent, and you'll certainly want to see his DVDs, and one of these days we should be distributing them, but we're not, and so you get them from Michael at the present time. His DVDs, his talks on sustainable development, outstanding. So then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will seriously consider helping Radio Liberty as we reach out across America 5 hours a day, and then on a weekend program, and we have about 60 outlets every single week, actually over 60 outlets now. But we do need your help to maintain what we have, and of course, we'd love to increase the coverage that we have, but we try to keep within the limitations, and a lot of people out there are having financial problems, and I believe before this is over, an awful lot more are going to be impoverished. But, of course, we do what we can do, and if you can help, we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to get our material on sustainable development, we have a talk, Sustainable Development, the Road to World Government. And, of course, the syllabus that goes with that is vitally important because it gives you all the background, the Global Biodiversity Assessment, the Earth Charter, the Population Control Agenda Monograph, the World Bank Water Policy, and takes you into the Georgia Guidestones and the plan there that comes from the Rosicrucians, at least we assume the Rosicrucians, the secret gentleman whose name is still unknown to this very day, who actually authorized the building of this fabulously expensive monument in Georgia known as the American Stonehenge or the Georgia Guidestones, and their plan to limit the population of the world to 500 million in constant balance with nature. Understand, there really are people out there who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world. So you can get our talk on sustainable development, our 4-tape set on sustainable development, our syllabus on sustainable development, and then let me suggest my talk on None Dare Call It Genocide. None Dare Call It Genocide goes into the population control program. My talk on the planned population reduction, which is even more advanced, and will give you an insight. And, of course, you have to understand that they are using the threat of population explosion, and there is no population explosion. In Europe, the population is dying off. There are not enough people to replenish the population, and in 2 generations, why, you can turn off the lights in Italy and in France and in Germany and in Russia. Well, of course, the Muslims will keep them on because they are going to take over simply by multiplying. They're having lots of children, and the West is not. And we've been lied to by our leaders who have a different agenda because they worship a different God. And to understand what this is really about, you need to hear my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, the DVD, or the book, of course, and then my talk on the Forbidden Secret. And then we have a new talk. It's called A Secret Knowledge, and it's a response to Rhonda Burns and her secret that she's publishing across America, sold millions of copies of her book, The Secret, and millions of copies of her DVD, The Secret. And she tells you there is a secret, and if you tap into this, there is an invisible force that will give you whatever you want. And she is absolutely right. But you don't want that force, because if you become involved in this, it will cost you your eternal soul. There is no middle grounds. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And, of course, we are losing this battle because most Christians don't even know the battle is going on. Our job is to get the truth out, and that's why we do what we do 5 hours a day. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. Go there, we've got this great new section entitled the other videos, not videos, but other videos, and scroll down and see the segment on Building 7 or some of the speeches given by Congressman Ron Paul or some of the other things we've included. We think they're well worthwhile. You will learn a great deal. That's RadioLiberty.com. There's other videos. And then please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Jerome Corsi, of course, a graduate. I believe he got his degree in economics, didn't you, at Harvard, Jerome?
Back then it was on
political science. Political science, okay. Well, anyway, a fascinating speaker. Certainly, he's a regular writer for the world for Joseph Ferris website, and of course you'll find his articles certainly on many websites across America. He's written a number of books. We carry two of them. Certainly, one of them is The Late Great USA, and the other. Certainly has to do with the Minutemen, and but what are we going to be talking about this evening, Jerry?
Well, a couple of things, Dr. Stan. I've got a new book on Obama coming out. Oh,
wonderful.
It's called The Obama Nation. Three words, The Obama Nation, and I fully intended the play on words.
I see, like abomination, but The
abomination.
Go right ahead.
And it's going to be published by Simon & Schuster, major publisher. It'll be published on August 5th. And it's now, you can see it on Amazon.com and on BarnesandNoble.com. It's in pre-publication sales. And the subtitle of the book is Leftist Politics and the Cult of Personality. I just got my first copy delivered today. It's embargoed, and I can't say very much about it until it's published. But I'm very pleased with the book. It's The Abomination, Leftist Politics and the Cult of Personality. And I'm quite convinced that if Obama does not answer what's in this book, he will lose.
Well, I certainly am not surprised at all, and because I don't know whether he's going to try to answer it. I look at what we have, the choices we have in November. I'm not happy with it at all, but I am very worried about Obama. So go right ahead. Do you want to talk about Obama, or do you want to get on to a different subject?
I want to go to a different subject, but I want to make just a couple more quick comments.
Go right ahead.
You'll recall that I co-authored in 2004 with John O'Neill, the Swift Boat book, Unfit for Command, Swift Boat Vets Speak Out Against John Kerry. And I think that, of course, it was my great honor to tell the Swift Boat story. And so I'm sure that when this book comes out, Obama will say he has been Swift Boated. But I want to make it very clear from the very beginning that my good friend John O'Neill and the Strip Club Vets did not participate in this book. This is I'm the sole author of this book. That's why when you, look it up on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, just search my name, Corsi, C-O-R-S-I, first name Jerome, or search the title, The Abomination. But it is not a Swift Boat book, and the John O'Neill and the Swift Boat Vets had no part in this book. I'm sure it'll be called Swift Boating anyway, but I just want to make it very clear that it's my effort only, and I'm not speaking here for John O'Neill or the Swift Boat Vets.
Well, I certainly appreciate all the things that you've done to bring out the truth about what's going on. We certainly are in a tragic situation as far as our country is concerned today. And certainly I'm looking forward to the background of Barack Hussein Obama, because there's a great deal to point out that he was raised as a Muslim, and he's lying about it. He's been deeply affiliated with the communists through the years, and communist organizers. I take the communist publications, Political Affairs. I've taken their magazine for 40 years, and recently, of course, they had a picture of Obama, a cartoon of him, standing on the stage with the caption, "We're winning." The communists say, "We're winning." Obama's, of course, in the effect, our man. Well, Jerry, go right ahead with the story.
Well, Dr. Stan, The Abomination will be out in August, and I'm expecting, I also want to make it very clear that I fully expect to defend the book. I expect to, on radio and television, as I'm permitted to be on television, I will defend the book against and support, as I do with all my books, the truthfulness of everything I say in The Abomination. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm expecting it to be a fight again, but I'm anxious to take it on. And the book will be out again August 5th, The Abomination. It's up at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com right now in pre-sale. So I'm trying to get it to the word out for people to know it's coming, and to try to get the numbers and the rankings on the pre-sale to go as high as they can so the Obama camp in advance knows it's coming.
All right, fine. Well, of course, you'll have full access to the network that we put together and all of our radio programs.
Thank
we'll
you very
always
much.
Enjoy having you on. But anyway, okay, what are we going to talk about this evening?
Well, I've also started, I've been working on a new newsletter with WorldNet Daily on economics. It's called Red Alert. Jerome Corsi's Red Alert. I want to talk about it and where I'm going with it and how it ties together with the late great USA, because I'm very focused on the economic consequences of what's being put together under the Security and Prosperity Partnership, the consequences of the globalism we've been experiencing, which I believe are the result of years of planning to move into a North American Union the same way that Europe moved into a European Union. And I believe I predicted the consequences in the late great USA of the dollar declining and the recession that we're in. And so the Red Alert has been launched. This will be the third week coming up of the newsletter's availability. And before we get into it too much, listeners can go to redalert.wnd. World Alert is one word, redalert.wnd for WorldNet Daily. redalert.wnd.com. And it's also being featured on the homepage of WorldNet Daily. It's out every week on Monday. It's mailed electronically. And the newsletter costs under $10 a month, although it's a weekly newsletter. And so we tried to price it so it's affordable. You can subscribe to it right on redalert.wnd.com. And let me give you the background of how we developed this, Dr. Stan.
Why don't you hold that just for a moment? We'll bring all of our stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And Dr. Corsi is saying that he's beginning to publish a new newsletter. It's called Red Alert, and of course, Red Alert on the WorldNet Daily, which Corsi works for. He does the does regular columns for them, but he's going to be putting out a weekly newsletter dealing with the economics, of course, of the globalism, of the influence of globalism here in the North American community, the North American of union, which, of course, they're planning on bringing about. But even more than that, of course, I've heard Dr. Corsi speak of, in fact, one of the finest speeches I've ever heard on economics was one he gave to the Eagle Forum when I attended a few months ago, talking about the various bubbles, certainly the housing bubble, and then, of course, the influence on the debt bubble, and then ultimately the debenture double bubble. And all of these things are going to play out, and they're certainly going to ruin our society economically. So, but you people can subscribe to the Red Alert newsletter. And would you like to go ahead and get that email address out again so people would like to get in touch with you and find out about getting the Red Alert newsletter?
Yes, you can see the Red Alert on, if you go to in the Internet, Red Alert, one word, redalert.wnd for World Net Daily. redalert.wnd.com, and that's where the newsletter is presented. It's going to be featured on the homepage every week in World Net Daily. It comes out Mondays. The cost for it is going to be under $10 a month. It's a weekly newsletter, and you can also subscribe to it on an annual basis. So go to redalert.wnd.com. You'll see all the details and can subscribe there.
All right, fine. Well, of course, as we look and see what's unfolding, we see the economic catastrophe that's facing our nation, that we see the implosion of our automotive industry, we see the implosion of our airline industry, we see the implosion of our so much of our manufacturing, the increasing competition for Boeing or other manufacturers of major airlines, now the competition with China, and there's no way down the line we're going to be able to compete with them because, of course, they have all of our technology. We've transferred it to them along with our manufacturing base. And, of course, some of our manufacturing base is moving into Mexico and other countries in South and Central America. So anyway, you pick up the story about what we're going to be talking about this evening.
Well, as I said, the newsletter comes from, I spent 25 years in financial services. I worked with banks around the world, helping them set up their financial services divisions, help to create broker-dealers and insurance departments for the banks, and aim towards getting financial planning services for the retail customers of the bank. And when I was doing that, when I was in the financial services, I would frequently write newsletters for the bank officers who were our clients, and try to predict stock prices, try to predict the closes of the stock market, where prices were headed on key commodities like oil or gold or the dollar. And I'm doing the same thing I was doing for the banks. I'm now writing the newsletter for the readers of World Net Daily, trying to give them advice as to how these economic circumstances we're in, these really difficult economic times, impact their lives. And that's the concept and methodology behind Joseph Farah asking me to create this World Net Daily newsletter, Red Alert, which we're now in the process of publishing every week.
Well, you know, because I think that the problem that we're really facing today is that most Americans, most of the middle class, is going to be wiped out because they have not made the proper arrangements, because they still think of the dollar as being as sound as the dollar. They think that this is just simply a little temporary blip in the road and everything's going to be all right down the road. But I don't see that happening. I think that we're going to see the greatest cataclysmic changes that we've ever witnessed here in the United States economically, as we've literally gut the very economic foundation of our nation. What are your thoughts?
Well, I agree. I've been writing and saying, and been able to predict, and when I wrote The Late Great USA, and it was published a year ago this month, I've been working on it really for 2 years. It goes back to being worked on from 2005 and 2006. But I was able to predict the consequences. I predicted that we would have a devaluation of the dollar, which we've effectively had, that the mortgage market would burst, this bubble would burst on the mortgage market, and that we would be entering into a very deep recession. And I was able to see these things because the globalist policies we were putting into effect going back to the Clinton administration had these dire economic consequences as inherent in the structure of the policies we were putting into place. And let me give you an example. as we established with the World Trade Organization and again with NAFTA and TAFTA and all of our free trade agreements, they've all been very one-sided in favor of other countries. So we've not cared that China subsidized its currency or that China basically uses slave labor or near slave labor under market labor to produce their goods. And, you know, when you trade, these are not classical free trade agreements. Classical free trade agreements had anti-dumping provisions so that if we were trading with a country that tried to operate like China, where the currency was subsidized, under market labor was used, the goods produced were defective, lead paint and poisoned food, and this country would have been seen to have had such unfair advantages that we would have told them to keep their goods, or we would have imposed tariffs on them. But under the current structure, the way we've done our trade agreements, we've not sought to protect U.S. markets or U.S. workers. What we've sought to do is to establish the advantages for the multinational corporations themselves. And as such, we gave up concerns about morality or good business. We've said, fine, go ahead and set up your subsidiary in China, manufacture with the slave labor, and you can import without any disadvantages back to the United States. Well, that's a formula to have our manufacturing go to China, and what we've seen over the consequences is a negative balance of trade in China's favor that now is going into years, and China's accumulated $1.6 trillion of U.S. foreign exchange reserves. That's the most any country's ever accumulated of another's foreign exchange reserves. About 80% of China's foreign exchange reserves are held in dollar assets, and China's the biggest purchaser of treasury securities that we sell to subsidize and float our treasury and budget deficits, the federal budget deficits. Now, this is extremely detrimental to the dollar, and it's predictable. It also has severe foreign policy concerns because China, as a consequence of having all this foreign exchange reserve, has the ability, you know, we can't just rely upon China being our friend politically forever. It's naive to think because we're trading with China, China will suddenly be our friend all the time. China's building a biggest navy in the world. They're building a strong military. They've gotten satellites, which they've demonstrated are able to, missiles, which are able to knock out satellites. We've seen their effectiveness. Their submarines have shadowed the Kitty Hawk aircraft carrier. We didn't even know their submarines were there. That's advanced technology that we may not have. And of course, let's just take a look at Taiwan. I mean, if China decides they want to take over Taiwan, how are we going to resist? China now is empowered to just sell our currency, our foreign exchange reserve they're holding, or treasury securities on the open market at discount and bring us to our knees economically. We put the dollar in our economy in a very precarious position, saying that, well, we're not going to worry about the U.S. balance of trade. We're just going to worry about the global economy. And that serves the need of our multinational corporations while it damages U.S. workers and it damages the dollar. And that's all very predictable. It's an inevitable consequence of the trade policies the way we put them in place, with one-sided advantages to China.
And I share your concern, and I think that most people don't understand that the economy is going to get a lot worse. I mean, we haven't seen anything yet as far as the recession is concerned, and it may very well end up we'll be in a major depression, you know, within a few years. People think this is going to be a very, very transient situation, but what we are going through today is what every nation has gone through eventually, that has a fiat money system with nothing behind our currency, and faced with the problems with Bear Stearns, faced with the problem with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, faced with Indy Mac, a bank that went down this last Friday. What is the government solution? Well, they're going to, of course, begin absorbing the responsibilities so that nobody has to pay. Nobody's going to be hurt except maybe the few people who had more than $100,000 bank deposits. But the government doesn't have the money. Where are they going to get it? They can't tax us anymore. Or they can't borrow anymore. They're borrowing the limit of several billion dollars a day from other countries. They're simply going to begin to print money, and they're actually massively expanding the M3, which they're not reporting, but other people are actually monitoring it, at the rate of 17% to 18%, which will be reflected in inflation, you know, 6 months to a year from now. I think we're headed into really hyperinflation down the line unless something changes. What are your thoughts, Jerry?
Well, I agree. I mean, I understand. I've said that the whole idea of the mortgage crisis was also predictable, the way we're managing these economic global policies. We had interest rates artificially low, and in 2003 and 2004, 1%, and that precipitated the entire mortgage bubble.
Absolutely. In fact, everything has been predictable. They knew exactly what's going to happen down the line. You can't have interest rates that low and have banks be able to have all of this money to lend out. And, of course, you have a mortgage bubble. You have a building bubble. And certainly people are borrowing money and building shopping centers. And they're building multi-story buildings and condominiums. And now, of course, a lot of those shopping centers are empty, completed. A lot of the condominiums are sitting there empty. They cannot be sold. Homes all over this country cannot be sold, and we're heading for very real problems, and most people have no grasp of what really lies ahead. Go right ahead, Jerry.
Well, Dr. Stan, if you take a look at having interest rates as we did artificially low at 1% in 2003 and 2004, what was predictable out of that, and I've been talking about this now for years, is that it generates so much liquidity. In other words, the banks suddenly, through the Federal Reserve and through the other lending facilities, have so much money now to lend at 1%. Basically the banks were saying, they're into irresponsible lending. Their standards of lending were let down. So we saw increases in real estate. So people were saying, look, my home has doubled in value. Look at all this home equity I've now got. Not realizing that this was a real estate bubble. The banks got to the point where subprime loans were being encouraged. We had exotic kinds of loans being created, interest only, a whole variety of different kinds of loans designed to minimize the initial payments. And people who were not qualified were told, don't worry about it. If you get a home now and you can't afford it later, well then, in a year from now, just sell the house. And you'll still make money because the interest is, because the values of homes are going so dramatically up. Well, that kind of thinking only works when mortgages are increasing, when the bubble is growing. When mortgages are adjusting downward, which they are right now, the thinking no longer works. So people are increasing. There are millions of people find themselves in a position where the amount of money that they have in the outstanding mortgages and the loans that they owe exceeds the amount of money that they can, the resale value of the house. The current mortgage is basically underwater because you owe more than you can, that the market value permits you to sell the house for. So even selling the house, you still have an outstanding obligation on the mortgage. That situation is extremely difficult. People end up walking away from the properties. The housing values are adjusting downward across the country. And I'm telling people that if they take a look at the current value of their homes, if they think, okay, what was my house worth at the height of this bubble? Whatever number they put there, I'm advising people to cut that number in half because in some market areas, that's going to be at the bottom what your home is going to be truly worth. Half of what you thought it was at the height. And I'm advising people on this Red Alert, this new newsletter with World Net Daily, to get their mortgages under the number of half their mortgage with where they thought it was at the top, half the house value at the top. So if you had a house that you bought, say, at know, 10 years ago of $200,000. You say, well, look, this house went to a $500,000 house. Well, you're probably living in a $250,000 house, and you better get your mortgage down under $250,000, or you're going to be underwater. So I'm saying to people that the first objective they've got is to make sure their primary residential real estate is secure and to pay their mortgages down. It's a tough discipline to do, but when you've got extra cash, you've got to look at making a double mortgage payment in a month. And you've got to arrange it with your bank or your lender so that that double payment goes directly to the principal. And you're reducing the principal on the loan. Again, people don't realize they may pay for 10 years on a mortgage and on
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dr. Corsi is saying that an awful lot of people are going to find that they're very soon, if they bought a home, you know, and then they have borrowed, they bought a home when it was at the top of the cycle, or maybe they borrowed, kept refinancing their home, using their home like a piggy bank to take more and more money out. But of course, pretty soon you get to the point where you owe more on your mortgage than the home is worth. In other words, you're underwater. And Dr. Corsi is saying, get your loan paid down to the point where it's going to be serviceable. It may be hard to do it, but at least you want to ensure that you have some place to live. But so many people, of course, have paid so much for their homes at the height of the cycle, and now the homes have dropped 10, 20, 30%, and are probably going to drop another 15 or 20%. And so he's telling, well, go right ahead.
You're exactly right. That's what I'm saying is calculate from the price of your home where you thought the house was worth at the very height of the bubble, and then cut that number in half and get your mortgage paid down to under that number, half of what you thought the house was worth at the height. That's the only way you're going to be secure to know that you can live in that house, even if you know you lose your job, even if you're in dire circumstances, you've got the ability to sell the house and have enough from the sale proceeds to pay off your mortgage loan. It's the only way you can function with any security. And you've got to, first line of defense is make sure you've got some place to live. If you pay off that mortgage loan, that's ideal. Same with credit cards. People get into paying, they eventually get to where they're paying their credit cards off with their credit cards. It's like taking a drink in the morning to get sober. It doesn't work. You know, you say, I've got a hangover in the morning, I'll have a Bloody Mary and feel better. But if you get to that point, you've got a serious problem with alcohol. You're not going to get sober doing that. And so if people have this kind of problem with their credit cards, you've got to cut the credit cards in half and pay them down. Because credit cards have got to be used, not like you've got, I've got a $2,000 credit card, say, oh boy, I've got $2,000 more to spend. No, that's borrowed money. Credit cards have got to be used responsibly only as a payment mechanism where the cards are being systematically paid off all the time. You've got to look to having zero balances. Don't think, oh, I've got $10,000 credit on my credit card. That gives me $10,000 more that's mine to spend. No, it gives you $10,000 more to borrow. And, you know, borrowing in this economic circumstance is a very bad strategy for any individual to get into. Zero borrowing, zero debt. Now, that objective is really the only objective people can have going into the dire times we're going into. Because as we said in the first part of this, with the globalist policies in place, millions of jobs are being shipped overseas. If we allow our multinational corporations to operate under the premise that they can find somebody cheaper to do the job anywhere, there's virtually no job in the United States, except maybe cutting your lawn, that can't be shipped overseas where some slave can be found to do it cheaper. And cutting your lawn, we've opened the border and let in an underclass from Mexico, largely, that is competing, often illegally, illegal immigrants, competing to do the lower-skilled jobs at the bottom that cannot be shipped overseas. So this globalism means that no one should consider themselves secure in a job. I remember I was at a conference out in Las Vegas last year or two, Dr. Stan, and I was preceded to the microphone by the podium by one of the editorial writers from the Wall Street Journal. And this Wall Street Journal editorialist was going on about how wonderful globalism was, how we were getting the benefit of all these cheap goods and the global economy was growing in value and that we were going to be beyond the ability of any one nation state to have a recession and throw the global economy into disarray. And he sat down and I said, you know, this gentleman is so waxing eloquently about globalism, he doesn't understand that the Wall Street Journal is going to come to the point where they could find two people from India with PhDs that could write his columns for half the price. I said, if he doesn't understand that, wait a little bit, because once Mr. Murdoch owns the newspaper, he's going to be facing reality. And in fact, that's happened. Murdoch has moved all the people from the Wall Street Journal, the comfortable offices on Wall Street, into the Fox News building in Midtown, and dramatically reduced the staff.
And of course, we find that, of course, that radiologists, well, they can read those X-rays and MRIs and CAT scans over in India.
Legal work. They can do the legal work in India.
Yeah, they can do the architecture. They can do the engineering. Suddenly, all the people who thought that they had, you know, secure jobs in the United States are increasingly finding out that those jobs are not quite so secure. And they can always bring in somebody from Mexico, legally or illegally, to take your place. We're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Jerome Torsi. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, Dr. Corsi is talking about these ideas of globalism. And theoretically, they sound fine. The only trouble is that what they mean, of course, is that our workers are going to have to compete with the workers from China. And, of course, we're told, well, yes, of course, initially globalism is going to hurt a few people. Yes, some people are going to lose their jobs. But they're going to be retrained into all these better jobs, all these better paying jobs. And globalism is going to actually benefit our labor force, because of course our people are going to get all these wonderful high-tech jobs, and of course they're going to make more money than they did before, and everybody's going to benefit, the people in the other countries that are taking our jobs, and the American workers. The only trouble is that it was all a lie, wasn't it?
Well, that's right, Dr. Stan, and that's what I'm saying is when I wrote Late Great USA, I was predicting this exact decline of our currency and this exact recession that we're in and the bursting of the credit bubble that has happened. We've now got a situation where all of these mortgages that have been sold at these inflated values, often subprime to bad lenders, have been packaged together and sold as mortgage securities to the banks. And that's where we're having the bank failures, because these mortgage securities are as worthless as the underlying loans and the mortgage loans themselves. When the mortgage loans default or go into foreclosure, the mortgage securities become underwater themselves and lose value. Now, so far, the Federal Reserve has been trying to paper over this problem. Literally, they have quit publishing M3. I mean, I've been concerned about that for over 2 years and reported on it in WorldNet Daily. When this broadest index of the money supply was stopped reporting, the Federal Reserve stopped reporting it, and they reported at the time the only reason to stop reporting it would be that the Federal Reserve was getting ready to print money and was aware that a crisis was coming. So I think we've probably printed over $500 billion, the Federal Reserve, on both the discount window and these special loan auctions. And what the Federal Reserve is doing is they're telling banks, bring us your worthless collateralized mortgage obligations, other collateralized loan obligations, and park them here at the discount window, and we'll lend you good cash against that, which you can then count in your reserves, so you don't have to take the losses you know are in these worthless collateralized mortgage securities. And the banks are doing it in continuing operations. But it can only last so long. And eventually, the losses have to be booked by somebody. Why you're beginning to see the
hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment, Jerry. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dr. Corsi is talking about the M3, the fact that the government is no longer printing this M3, which is, of course, a vehicle by which you can tell how much money the government is creating, whether they're printing the money or whether they're simply creating the credit. I would simply point out that for those of you who would like to hear, of course, Congressman Ron Paul, you can go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, scroll down to other videos, and then scroll down to Congressman Paul, several of things we have there, but I think probably the statement that where he is interviewing Paulson, Secretary of Treasury Paulson, or certainly his talk about the Iran, I think both of those, he makes the statement that within the last 3 years, the Treasury has produced $4 trillion. They just created this money out of thin air, $4 trillion. And you know, certainly Congressman Paul, I think, is closer to this than anybody else because he has his finger on what is really going on. So if you go to shadowstatistics.com, I think it's Shadow Statistics, that's anyways, correct. John Williams' Shadow website, he will tell you that the M3 is 17 to 18% at the present time, which means that 6 months to a year down the line, we will have 17 to 18% inflation. The government is lying to us about inflation. They're lying to us about the money they're creating. They're lying to us about what lies ahead because they know a disaster lies ahead. They just don't want the American people to realize what's going to happen as they destroy the value of our currency, impoverish our people, and transfer our wealth to other nations. Go right ahead, Jerry.
Well, Dr. Stan, keeping the discount window open and the Federal Reserve offering these auction loans to the banks, letting the banks park their worthless collateralized mortgage securities out of their asset portfolios and giving them cash, I mean, this is like giving drugs to, you know, to a drug addict. It doesn't solve the problem. Temporarily it solves the problem, but eventually the bank has got to book these assets to market. They've got to say these are worthless assets, which is why you've seen failures in major, you know, giant companies like Bear Stearns, which had survived the Depression, survived World War II, and its huge collateralized mortgage obligation funds ended up being basically worthless, and it caused the bankruptcy of Bear Stearns. We've seen it now with this IndyMac bank failure, and it caused the run on the bank, which again we've not seen since the 1930s. I think there's probably 150 banks that are on the verge of collapsing the same way that IndyMac collapsed. Now, there's several things here. First of all, practical advice, and this new newsletter, this red alert I'm trying to give to people, is most people don't understand how their deposits are insured or not insured. You've got to make sure that the deposits you've got in the bank do not exceed the deposit insurance limit. I mean, that's, you know, people say, well, I may have a joint account, and so I've got $200,000 federal deposit insurance protection. You may or you may not. Depends on how you set up that account and how you've been using that account, and you better double check it. Secondly, people need to know how to get their money out of their accounts. If the bank has a run on it, the bank may close the doors, may send in a group of federal regulators, and they say, well, I've had $500,000 in this bank. I feel really comfortable. Every time I come in, the president greets me, I get the red carpet, I get offered coffee. Well, that's great. Those people who are so warm and fuzzy because you've had so much money in the bank may not be there. They may not be the ones you deal with when the bank closes its doors. You may get handed a form, and even if your money is federally insured, you may have to wait 6 months to get it till the federal regulators sort out the bank failure. People need to know how to get their money out through, you know, when you set up your accounts. How can I shift money from one bank to another or from one brokerage account to another? Are they linked to credit cards or are they linked to other ways that you can transfer your money out without having to go physically to the bank to do it? If people don't think about these things, if you don't look at your bank and say, this bank could fail, it'd be better to have your money diversified, to work with 3 or 4 banks if you have to, or more than one brokerage account, because it's unlikely that all the banks you're working with will fail at the same time. And I'm encouraging people to think this way and not to say, oh, I've got federal deposit insurance protection, I'm okay. You may be or you may not be. And in this environment where there's going to be more bank failures, we created this red alert because now, Dr. Stan, this is getting down to the time when average people across the country are going to be facing situations of mortgage failures, inability to sell their homes, inability to get to their bank accounts that they've never faced before. And so I'm talking this way because I know this crisis is coming, and we're in the first stages of it, but it's going to get much worse.
And I think that's really what's so important for people to understand that this has a long way to go. We don't know how long it's going to last, but it's going to last for several years, if not for many years, before we ever get back to a solid foundation, because they've got to get back to a solid currency. And we do not have a solid currency. They have a currency that they can inflate, and of course, down through throughout all history, when governments, whether it be the ancient Greek government or the ancient government of Rome or certainly down through the Middle Ages in Florence and in Venice. And I mean, we're talking about the 1400s, the 1500s, the 1600s. They were doing the same thing there that we're doing now. And when governments are faced with a problem where they can either restrict the amount of money and get to hold so the money will maintain its value, or simply print money, they will print money. They'll create new money by one means or another, whether by clipping coins or creating false coins as they did in ancient times, or turning on the printing presses as they are today. But what this does is devalue or debauch the value of the currency. And as Lenin had said, there's no better way to conquer and destroy a nation than to debauch the currency. And one person in a million will realize what's happening. And I think that's really what's going on today, don't you, Jerry?
Well, yes, I do, Dr. Stan. The dollar is now trading at about 156 to 158, $1.60 to the euro. That's historically at the lowest points ever. And under George W. Bush, the dollar has lost half of its value, which is a shocking realization. Half the value of the dollar has gone in the last 8 years. Now, we are not going to, and again, this is the globalism. This is the not concern about managing a strong dollar. Because, of course, we're going to hear at the end of this crisis, and I've been saying this, the solution the federal government's going to offer is saying, look, we have to have a regional currency, the Amero, to replace the dollar. People never would have given up the dollar if it was a strong currency. And we need to move into a North American common market on the way to a North American union to compete with the European Union, which is, you know, the crisis that was created by these globalist policies. The solution offered is going to be more globalism, and it's more of a lie. The currency right now, the Federal Reserve is in a complete dilemma. We've got interest rates. Our discount rate, the Federal Reserve, is 2%. The European Central Bank has got their key rate at 4.25%. That means on the world money exchanges, there's no reason for large dollar deposits to go into the dollar. Large currency deposits worldwide are headed towards the euro. You've even got the sovereign wealth funds from all these petrodollars that have gone to the Muslim states of the Middle East or to China on our negative balance of trade. Even they are looking at diversifying more into the euro and moving away from the dollar. The Federal Reserve cannot, in order to get the currency strong, the Federal Reserve would have to go back to the thinking that Ronald Reagan put into place. Remember, we had a very similar crisis developing under Jimmy Carter, another socialist president, Democrat, who we were in a stagnant economy with inflation and high oil and other energy prices, and Carter was saying, put on a sweater. There's nothing we can do about it. Reduce your standard of living. Another socialist president. Ronald Reagan came in and, with Paul Volcker, increased interest rates. It was a very tough medicine. We had interest rates coming out of the Carter administration into the 80s that were double digits. And it was very difficult because it did slow down the economy. It did hurt individuals at the time. But what Reagan was able to do was beat inflation and get the dollar on sound footing again and employ discipline in the energy markets where the price of oil went down to under $20 a barrel. Now, I don't know that the next president's going to have the discipline, but if a global president comes in, and certainly Obama's going to be one, we'll have a continuation, a return of the Carter-type policies, which we're in the process of having right now. These globalist thinkers do not protect the dollar because they don't see the value of protecting the U.S. economy. Their focus is on multinational corporations and the world economy. Well, that formula doesn't work. It means that the United States will go through a period of currency collapse. We have effectively devalued our currency. Our currency at $1.60 to the euro, trading on the Forex, on the international currency exchange markets at 71 or 72, when it used to trade at, in the 90s, this is a dollar devaluation, whether it's been announced or not. And that affects everyone. With the reason that the price of food and the price of oil has gone so dramatically high is that oil producers are saying, we're not going to give you our oil, our hard commodity, for your worthless dollars unless you give us a lot more dollars. And again, the people get lied to because the federal government, when they report the consumer price index, have had this redefinition of core inflation, where they take out of the equation food and energy. If we calculated today's the consumer price index the way we did in the 1970s, we probably have 12, 13, 14% inflation right now.
And the method by which they lie to us, they put a name on it, they call it hedonics, and basically they've just changed the means by which they calculate inflation, and they say, see, there's really no inflation. Are you going to believe your lying eyes, or are you going to believe us from the government, because we are so trustworthy? We saw somebody calling in fact, a friend of ours, who talks about the fact that WaMu, that's Washington Mutual, had sold their bad mortgages to Wells Fargo and Bank of America last week, and I hadn't heard about this, but why would this, had you heard about this at all?
Yes, well, see, Wells Fargo is one of the, and it's, Wells Fargo reported this week that it had earnings, and a lot of their earnings came from their insurance subsidiary, and I had to get a chuckle over that because I'm largely responsible for Wells and the other banks having created their insurance subsidiaries, where they're getting fee income and other forms of income out of their insurance subsidiaries. Wells has been extremely strong in it. I remember working with Wells, talking with Wells going back 25 years ago and counseling them to create these insurance subsidiaries.
Right,
and now that's been the source of their, one of the major sources of their profits.
Well, let me just put Jeannie on the line here, and maybe you could tell her. Because Jeannie's asking why, of course, Bank of America and Wells Fargo would have bought all this bad paper from WaMu, from Washington Mutual. It isn't logical that they would do something like that and take on these unnecessary debts. Is that basically what you're asking, Jeannie?
Right, and what would Washington Mutual get from the two banks, Wells Fargo and Bank of America?
Okay, fine. What are your thoughts on that?
Well,
why would they do it, and what did Washington Mutual get in return?
They bought them at a very deep discount, and they bought them in a deal that was arranged by the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve was trying to get the bad mortgage loans off of the portfolio of the Bank of America and the other banks that sold to Wells, because the Bank of America has got probably a negative balance sheet right now, needs to offload some of these loans. Wells has profits. Wells can absorb them. And with the federal kind of guarantees that Wells, I'm sure, was given in the transaction, Wells was willing to do this favor for the Fed. But the Fed is right now scrambling very hard to try to position the bad loans, all these collateralized mortgage obligations, off the books of banks where they know the bank is insolvent if it keeps those loans, onto the balance sheet of banks that can handle, or they think can handle, the addition of the bad loans onto their portfolio. Because remember, eventually, at some point or other, these bad collateralized mortgage obligations have to be marked to market, and somebody has to take the loss.
And I suspect it's eventually going to be you and I. We're going to end up paying for them. Is that right?
Well, don't you understand? The solution to this problem is simple. Why doesn't the federal government just print enough money? You know, let's print $30 trillion tomorrow and buy everybody's home for them and give the people the deeds. That'll solve the whole problem overnight.
Except, of course, it would destroy the value of the
property. Except that at the end of that process, we'd be into hyperinflation,
right.
And you have to carry around, like in the Weimar Republic, you'd have to carry around a wheelbarrow of $100 bills just to buy a loaf of bread. And that's the problem, is that this crisis has got in it, I'm estimating probably $10 trillion of bad collateralized mortgage obligations and other forms of loan obligations, including commercial obligations, that are eventually going to have the losses taken. And by the way, this idea of bailing out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac is absurd. These are old corporations. They're not needed anymore to create a secondary market. They've largely been corrupt going back to 2000 to 2004. You know, there's been expose after expose of the management of Freddie and Fannie taking out millions of dollars in their salaries, running offshore schemes and all kinds. I mean, these Freddie and Fannie are worse scandals on the inside than Enron ever was. They make Enron look like a minor problem. And the federal scandals have included some very top people. I mean, you're going to get some names like Jamie Gorelick, who was on the 9/11 commission, who handsomely received compensation from Freddie or Fannie, whichever one she was affiliated with. There's some other very prominent names that got money out of here. And Freddie and Fannie have had some of the biggest lobbyists in D.C. They've been able to perpetuate these two fraudulent corporations as quasi-government corporations, again at the expense of the U.S. taxpayer, because their lobbyists have wined and dined congressmen now for more than a decade to overlook the fraud. Freddie and Fannie ought to collapse. They ought to be abandoned and collapsed.
Well, of course, they're not going to do that. It sounds like they're really trying to bail out WaMu, Washington Mutual, before they collapse by getting, of course, talking to these other banks, talking about Bank of America and Wells Fargo into buying up the debt. And then maybe at steep discounts, but at least WaMu now will not go into receivership like IndyMac and like so many of our other banks are going to. But, of course, you know, you can only keep papering over these problems for a short period of time. One of these days, you're going to run out of wallpaper, aren't you?
Well, that's the problem, Dr. Stan. And Wells, by taking on these obligations, is going to weaken its own balance sheet.
This is what I fear, and I fear that a lot of our large banks, they say they're too big to fail, and we'll see. If they're too big to fail, you and I are going to pay for it. Well, why you've got 3 minutes to wrap up our program there?
Well, that's it. I'm just going to summarize. I think we've created this Red Alert, this newsletter at WorldNet Daily, because we've realized that these economic problems from globalism that I've been writing about in the late great USA, I mean, in Black Gold Stranglehold in 2005, I predicted then that oil would be over $100 a barrel. All the predictions I've made on the economics, as dire as they've been, have come true. When I said oil was going to be over $100 a barrel, the oil industry ridiculed it. They said in 2005 that could never happen. In retrospect, that looks conservative because oil's traded as high as $146 a barrel. So the Red Alert, which you can access by redalert.wnd for WorldNet Daily, redalert, one word, .wnd.com, weekly newsletter. It's priced to be under $10 a month, and I intend to really apply this kind of advice that we've been talking about this evening and this show to the average person who wants to hear the truth. The newsletter is not for everybody. If you don't want to hear the truth about the economics, don't subscribe to the newsletter. And my new book on Obama, The Obama Nation, which is subtitled Leftist Politics and the Cult of Personality, will be out on August 3rd in the bookstores. It's going to be published by Simon & Schuster. It's right now in pre-publication sales on Amazon.com and on BarnesandNoble.com. You can see it by searching my name, Corsi, C-O-R-S-I, my first name, Jerome, with a J, or just search The Obama Nation as a title. And in pre-sales, the book will be shipped on publication date or before. first shipment will go out to those who have pre-ordered the books from Amazon and from Barnes & Noble. And I'm very pleased with this book. It's about 365 pages long, and I'm saying that if Obama does not answer the issues I've raised in this book, he will lose the election.
Well,
I think it's that strong.
All right. Well, we'll certainly look forward to seeing your book. Now, is it your newsletter going to be sent out by email? How will
it be
sent out?
It's going to be sent out by email.
All right, fine. I think that's a great idea. We can get instantaneously the knowledge, and people have to keep abreast of what's going on because, of course, I think people who don't understand are going to lose most of what they have.
That's right.
My guest has been Dr. Jerome Corsi, and certainly one of our favorite guests to have here. Thank you very much for staying up so late tonight.
Always a great pleasure and honor to be with you, Dr. Stan.
Good night, and God bless. Okay, fine. Well, of course, that was Dr. Jerome Corsi. We're talking about what lies ahead for America, and I hope you will heed what his remarks, because I think he's right on his valuation. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, of course, Dr. Jerome Corsi, and I personally consider him a friend. And, of course, he will be putting out his Red Alert report. And if you're interested in subscribing to it, simply you can get the address at Google, Red Alert at worldnetdaily.com. And, of course, we'll be probably carrying his new book when it comes out, An Abomination. That's Obama, but of course it's a play on abomination. So understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble, and of course both candidates are bad. The only question is not which one is the best one, but which is the least worst one. And of course behind all of this are the powerful secret societies we often talk about. Are there really secret societies? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there have been secret societies down through the ages. Here in the United States, they never talk about the Bilderbergers. You can learn about it on the Internet. But the media never talks about it. They don't talk about the influence of the Masons, why the Masons who controlled the Supreme Court from 1941 to 1971 took God and prayer out of our schools. They're not going to tell you about the Rosicrucian secret societies that has their meetings. They're not going to talk about the Bohemian Grove. And, of course, how they have their candlelight processions and their feigned human sacrifices. We have a four-tape set on the Bilderbergers. We have two books on the Bilderbergers and an excellent DVD on the Bilderbergers entitled Endgame by our good friend Alex Jones. That's Endgame, two books. One is Bilderbergers, the other is Bilderberger Diary by Jim Tucker, and then, of course, my four-tape set on the Bilderbergers. We have a four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove, and you get information there. We have Alex Jones' DVD on the Bohemian Grove, and you'll actually see the world leaders with their black robes and their black hoods and their candles and their processions. We, of course, have the book Satanic Crimes, goes into the background of the crimes of the Bilderbergers and the sexual aberration that's there, the revolt against God. We have a four-tape set on the Satanic Crimes. You will find things here that you'll never get elsewhere. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you want to understand what's really going on as far as the oil situation is concerned, you want to get the DVD we have, Lindsay Williams, on energy non-crisis. And then a four-tape or four-CD set, The Oil Deception. It's moving up in the files there on Amazon.com. You have to understand that there's plenty of oil in the world. They are creating this issue for profit, but also for control. And, of course, the shortage of oil is all make-believe. There is no peak oil. There's more oil in the world. They know what to do with. But they can't let the American people know that. And that's why Lindsay Williams has been silenced. He will be with us next week. He cannot talk about certain things, but, and he, of course, he has had that offer that you cannot refuse. But he will be telling us, of course, what's going to happen. Chris, a month ago, he was telling me the price of oil was going to drop to $50 a barrel. The price of oil is going to drop to $50 a barrel. Why would they do that? Well, there's so much more to this story you haven't heard. Well, Lindsay will be with us next week. I'm sure you'll enjoy hearing his story of what he was told by one of the men who rule the world. And incidentally, if you'd like to know what the real plan is, go up on our internet site go scroll down to from RadioLiberty.com to other videos, and then of course go and look at the interview that there's a link to the interview Aaron Russo did with somebody from Prison Planet, where he tells about his meeting with Nathan Rothschild. The meeting with Nathan Rothschild, where they explained exactly what the future holds for you and I. Exactly what the future holds. It's a fascinating interview, and it's available at Radio Liberty, scrolling down under other videos to the interview with Aaron Russo. Understand we're up against organized evil. When you understand that, everything makes sense. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, because this is a spiritual battle. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.